You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Kia ora, Alice. How are you?
I am so good. I'm living, loving, laughing. I just got headshots taken on the weekend, and I got the pro shoot, and I'm laughing in every single shot. And it's terrible because people think that I'm like a happy-go-lucky, jovial person. I'm actually absolutely a sourpuss. Like, yuck, yuck, yuck. Despise people. Don't know what's going on.
I love it, though. You're going to get cast in all these rom-coms. They're going to put you on. It's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely. Cast me in a rom-com.
I'd love to see it.
We're not here to talk about my rom-com aspirations, though. Today we are here. I am joined by the esteemed Andrew Callan, and we are talking about your solo show, A Tart on Tour.
That's the one.
Yes. Look, Andrew, you had an illustrious career in theatre, in film, screen. You've worked in front of the camera. You've worked behind the camera, on stage, off stage. This feels like a glorious return to the stage. Is that what it is? Like, in terms of it being your show?
Yeah, well, I retired from Shortland Street 2 years ago.
Yes.
And I was going to do this show quite early, quite close to the end of that.
Ah. So
that was the kind of plan, but then COVID came along.
The novel coronavirus.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so it's taken this long, really, to get it up and running. So it's been a three-year journey.
Oh, look, and the work draws on this extremely rich and colourful and vibrant life that you've had. Would you say it is an autobiographical piece?
Yes, it's a memoir, but it's been brought to life on stage.
Yeah.
And so it started with five short stories, and then Deb Filler said, yes, why don't we turn this into a play?
Amazing.
And so that's kind of been the process of, taking those characters and giving them identity and then bringing them to the stage. So there's 35 characters.
You play all of these characters.
I do.
So Deb Filler, obviously, in her own right, is an extremely celebrated actress and also has done solo work where she plays multiple roles. Talk to us about what needs to happen when you're playing these roles. What kinds of considerations do you make? And how do you sort of score that so we know who is whom? Talk us about that process.
Well, it is a process. It's kind of, there are these things called markers. So each character has a marker. So in my head, maybe I don't look different on the outside, but in my head I might be playing somebody who's 6 foot tall.
Mm.
So that immediately brings my eye line down to talking to everybody else just a little bit lower. That's just a tiny example. The other thing, I might be a big fat man. So if I push my stomach out and I kind of imagine I've got bits and I walk slightly differently, that informs me and my performance, and
right,
hopefully the audience think, oh, she's being that guy, again.
When you're in the room sort of playing, these expressions are terrible. People who are non-theatre people are like, ew, what do you mean in the room playing? But when you are discovering these characters or finding a voice, like, is that a difficult fear, or does it come naturally?
Well, the thing is that I know all these people.
Yeah.
So they are people from my life. So, we all have a visual image, don't we, of people. The visual image might fade a little bit, but it's still intrinsically there. So I play my mother.
Mm.
And my mother was, in my mind, this very tall, glamorous person with very long fingernails.
Oh,
so
yes,
immediately I can see, her... with her high heel shoes on, so I'm up on tippy toe,
yes,
and I've got quite enormous bosoms because as a child,
you see,
and these nails that she was always dyeing, and
fabulous.
So that's kind of my marker for her, and sort of bossy and narcissistic.
Wrapped into one. What is it like to bring stories from your past to all your present, or your future, to life? Like, what is that experience like? And talk us through some of the challenges of doing that.
Well, there's some really sad bits in it. There's a sexual assault in it.
Okay.
And in that moment, I'm literally reliving it. So it does require that ability to be able to be in the moment so the audience is there with you.
Yeah.
But as well as that, being able to snap out of it and go into another character.
Wow.
So it's a roller coaster, you know.
Yeah.
It really is.
And I imagine every night the energy or the presence of an audience might shift the way in which you do move between these roles.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, as an actor, you know, it's not till you get the audience in there as well that you actually realise which bits really work and which bits they need a breather. Sometimes they need a breather because, you know, the thing about doing it in a rehearsal, you think you've got to get it in under 60 minutes and, you know, this bit needs to go faster, slower, blah, blah, blah. But with an audience, you just have to ride it and you have to kind of really be sensitive to... You know, are they okay now? Yeah, okay, now we can go on to the next bit.
Yeah. I think it's really gorgeous to hear a performer talking about that nuance, and it is something about the theatre, you know, different every night. Like, for those nerds, like us theatre nerds, like, of course, that's our language. Yeah. That's a really important part of the live performance process. Mm. For someone who maybe is a bit shy to come to a show like this, because you're saying, you know, there's all this kind of roller coaster and things like that, what might you say to a person who's like, oh, this sounds kind of interesting, but I'm a bit nervous, I'm a bit shy, I'm a bit scared?
There is no audience participation.
That takes all the pressure off.
Yeah. God for that. The insufferable participatory theatre. That's a kind of... some people do get scared by that, right? They're like, oh, please don't pick me. Don't give me eye contact. It's too intimate. It's too scary. You're on this week. You've actually done a season of it previously for Pride. So this is the work coming back. And in that way, you've had a chance to test some of this with an audience.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to with this season of the work? Coming to the basement?
Just more of the same, really. It's a weird thing because after the show, they don't get up and go to the bar. They'd sit there.
Mm.
And on the opening night, Colin said, go out. They really want to see you, you know. So I did. I sort of poked my head and they gave me another round of applause. Oh. And people want to connect.
Yeah.
And there are incidences in the show that have happened to people.
Mm. Mm.
There's drug addiction, there's people who know people who've had drug addiction, there's the assault I talked about, there's, you know, bossy mothers, you know. And people have an experience that they can relate to. And so some people wanted, you know, oh my God, nobody's ever said that out loud. That happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a kind, there's a sort of a confessional kind of relatability about the show that people just want to talk about it.
Oh, I think there's something extremely powerful about that, seeing something, seeing whether it's yourself or others on stage reflected back to you. Mm. Like, what a gift. And also can be quite affronting. You know, we're like, oh gosh, that's my mother. But I do imagine that when you talk about an audience staying after the theatre, that is such a good mark of how an experience has affected them. I just want to say briefly, you said Colin, we're talking about Colin McColl, artistic director of Auckland Theatre Company. You've also had Deb Filler, we've mentioned. You had Tom Sainsbury come in too.
He came in for 2 weeks because Alison got
Keegan.
Stolen from me as my director.
Okay.
She got pinched.
This is Alison Keegan, of course, the other amazing. You've got amazing people that you're working with.
I know.
So then Tom came in and worked with you as well.
2 weeks. And he was amazing because that's his thing. You know, he can every day. There's a new Tom Sainsbury.
Yeah.
The multiple facets of Tom Sainsbury. We could do an entire bit on that, I think. So you're playing this week for 5 shows only. You're opening tonight.
Yep.
It's at the Basement Theatre, 6:30 show.
That's
which
right.
We,
nice and early.
Yeah, we love a 6:30 show. It's in the studio upstairs, so it is a smaller, it's intimate. We were just saying before how much we love the studio because of its intimacy, and also it really helps to build a world around a performance because really the times that it's quite profound, the times I've sat in the studio and it's like the walls blur. Mm. You can't see the outer edges of the theatre, like the physical edges, and you are able to be there so with the performer. And this for me is what this show is going to be, right? You're going to have a potentially a profound experience with an extreme extremely dexterous performer, Andrea, and be able to see a really special story unfold in real time. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing this one. It is Atat on tour at Basement Theatre this week. Go to basementtheatre.co.nz. Yes, and iTicket, that's of course who are ticket providers. Head along, make sure you book a ticket to this because the studio only has a tiny capacity.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out on that one.
Oh gosh, I would be so sad and gutted, and I'd probably sit outside and sulk. Andrea, thank you so much. Break a leg for tonight. Oh,
thanks for having me, Alice.
Oh, look, the pleasure is ours. And I really look forward to hearing how the season goes.
Thank you both so much.
Thanks, guys.
Have a fantastic time in the theatre.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.